And then just all of a sudden she said, Heather, you're going to make the devil pay. And I was thinking, yes, I am. I had never actually said that. But when she said that, it really bore witness with what I had already felt, like my attitude within myself.
That's kind of my first point. During times of uncertainty, realize God is not your problem. He's your answer.
Yes.
I'm going to believe that He really is great.
Yes.
And that He has a great plan for my life, and that my life is going to be a testimony of His greatness. He decided I'm going to be an advertisement for the greatness of God.
Hello, and welcome to the Purdue Podcast. I'm Pastor Heather Purdue, and this is Pastor Aaron Purdue, and this is Real Talk and Kingdom Walk, and we are so excited that you're here with us today. We have a great topic to discuss with you. But first, before we get started, we want you to tell us where you're watching from. We want you to subscribe to this channel and tell us your name. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to leave those in the comment section. And we're just going to dive right into this topic, aren't we?
Yeah, I know a lot of you watch on YouTube. We also put this on other platforms, the audio as well, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. But I know on YouTube, I'll go on there and look at everyone's comments. And
We try to reply to them.
Yeah, so feel free to write there. And if you're ever here in Colorado, be sure to stop by our church here, Charis Christian Center. Mm-hmm. We're here all the time. We have Wednesday night services, Sunday morning services. So Colorado's a great place to travel to. You can get pretty cheap flights here to Denver or even to Colorado Springs. So we actually just went to Florida, and you can fly right out of Colorado Springs a lot of places now, pretty cheap. So it's a great place to visit, to bring family. There's, I really enjoy it here, the mountains here.
I know, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people that fly here to go on hikes and things. So come here to go on some hikes, but also to come meet us, come to church. Today's going to be awesome. We're going to talk about a topic that's not really discussed too much. We're very strong in faith ourselves, and plugged into really strong faith circles. But sometimes things don't work out the way you planned or the way you think they should happen or on the time scale, especially the time scale.
Yeah, the time
scale. That's something I've kind of learned about. You can't always put like a expiration date on faith.
Yeah.
It's through faith and patience. Mm-hmm. So you can't put a time stamp on what you're believing God for. And sometimes He works things out in a different way, and it's usually a better way than what you initially thought.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about three things to do during times of uncertainty. And at in every person's life at some point, you'll face a uncertain situation.
Yeah.
You're not really sure what the next step is. And you need some specific direction, or you're supposed to connect with a specific person or get a specific job or do something very specific, and you just don't know what at the time. So what to do during those times of
uncertainty. You can always be certain that God is with you.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Mm-hmm. And He will come through with answers for He'll come through with provision, anything you need. He's going to be there to deliver that to you.
Yeah.
So even though it seems uncertain, you don't have to live in that place of uncertainty.
Yeah, and don't, something I kind of realized, my dad taught me this. His grandpa, so my great-grandfather, my great-grandpa, I called him Grandpa Joe.
Yeah.
His name was Daryl Purdue, but he owned the Arabian Horse Ranch where my dad worked, and my mom initially worked when they got married. My mom, Pastor Barbara, went to college for horse training and management. She loves horses, and for the first few years of their marriage, they did Arabian horses. But my great grandfather, he had two sons, and they both passed away kind of young, around the age 40. But my dad said something that he realized with his grandpa. He never got angry at God. Mm. He said, when you're facing a really difficult situation like that, you're kind of at a crossroads where you're either going to keep trusting God or you're going to turn away from Him, or lose your trust in Him. And he said, my great-grandfather always kept trusting God. Mm-hmm. And you're always 100% of the time better off trusting God.
Yeah.
100% of the time better off trusting God. And sometimes people who do have a very sincere faith, they go through a difficult situation, maybe something similar to like what my great-grandfather went through. And
it reminds me of Andrew Womack.
Yeah.
Too. Remember when he was here and we played during worship, How Great Thou Art?
Mm-hmm.
And he said that they played that at his dad's funeral when he was 12. Mm-hmm. And he had to also make that decision. I'm going to trust that God's good.
Well, he even said, he told us at the funeral, he had this thought. He's like, well, God, if you're really so great, why is my dad gone?
Yeah.
And in, you know, his circle, I think the pastor told him, well, or people in his church told him, well, God needed him
more than you did.
He needed you.
Which is like insane.
It's kind of that sovereignty of God. Like, yeah. God controls everything. And it kind of leaves out that there is a devil who does bad things. And that's kind of my first point. During times of uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
Realize God is not your problem. He's your answer.
Yes.
So always trust God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Andrew Womack even said, you know, I had to make a decision. I'm going to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to believe that he really is great.
Yes.
And that he has a great plan for my life and that my life is going to be a testimony of his greatness. Powerful. He decided I'm going to be an advertisement for the greatness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known other people who've dealt with very tough situations. You know, there's a great minister in the Tampa area, Rodney Howard Brown. He lost a daughter years back, but he said, you know, this is the devil that took her away, and I'm going to make the devil pay. I'm going to mm-hmm. get a million people saved.
Yeah.
So he used it as fuel to live with purpose and to just lean into God.
Yeah, that's what I did too. More. It was like my second week. I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast, but maybe I have. It was like my second week after I moved here, and I was at church, and Carly Terdez was here. And I don't know, I think I just went up to say hi to her or something. And then just all of a sudden she said, Heather, you're going to make the devil pay. And I was thinking, yes, I am. I had never actually said that. But when she said that, it really bore witness with what I had already felt, like my attitude within myself,
mm-hmm.
Having lost a spouse. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
I will make the devil pay. I will use that as fuel, and I think that people should change their, you know, aspect of how they view things mm-hmm. sometimes.
Yeah, when I've dealt with difficult things like mm-hmm. Losing a, you know, for men sometimes it's hard if you lose a job or lose a means of income or
yeah.
maybe it takes a long time to get the job you really need to get to support mm-hmm. your family or to go in the right direction. Sometimes that can really affect your heart.
What's going on?
You know,
on
what's
the
my real purpose?
Yeah.
But you need to lean into God even more.
Yes.
And realize that He's not your problem. He's your answer.
Yeah.
And I like this. We talked about this parable that Jesus spoke about, and not a lot of people teach on this parable. And sometimes when people teach on it, they get it wrong. Mm-hmm. They kind of miss the point. But this is the parable of the persistent widow. I think it's interesting you talked about your own, you know, you were a widow
yeah.
when I met you. You moved here, your spouse had been passed away for a year, and you moved here to just really lean into God. I'm going to take my 4-year-old son and move to Colorado. And
by ourselves.
And just lean into God and know that he'll take care of us. And even Fisher, when he was 4, told you that everything is going to be okay.
Yeah.
So this is the parable of the persistent widow. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Luke 18, 1-8. And this is great. I think it goes right along the lines of what we're talking about, what to do during times of uncertainty. 3 things to do, and the first one is to realize God is not your problem. He's your answer. Mm-hmm. So Jesus spoke this parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart.
Yeah.
So he's saying you always need to be praying, and that doesn't mean you need to just be praying, constantly.
Yeah.
Out loud.
Mm-hmm.
But prayer is having a communication flow with God. You know, when I communicate with you, like if our communication is broken, I know the relationship
is not doing that good. Yeah.
Like if we don't want to talk or we mm-hmm. try to avoid each other or we're upset at each other, that communication flow is chopped off.
Yeah.
And communication is a key to relationship. So prayer is that flow of communication. It doesn't mean you just talk to God nonstop. Like sometimes you need to listen
like
as
not
well.
Whining.
And
don't
not whining.
Whining to God.
So you should always be in communion with God is what he's saying.
You could also take this and say when it says that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, that when you're praying, it's helping you not lose heart.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're praying and you're still losing heart, maybe you're whining.
Might be praying wrong.
Maybe you're praying wrong.
Or you're viewing God wrong. Or and that's kind of what this parable is about. Mm-hmm. Like, people don't really understand who God is. Mm-hmm. So he talks about this unjust judge. So he's saying this is not who God is.
Right.
And some people say, well, this is kind of like who God is, but this is not who God is.
Yeah.
This is just a normal worldly judge or ruler, someone in a position of authority who isn't right with God.
Yeah.
And it says here that there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man.
Yes.
So he was like doubly off. Right. Like, he didn't even care about people. He didn't care about God.
He didn't care about anything.
But it says there was a widow in that city, and she was just stuck in that city. So this is the person who could help her. Mm-hmm. An unrighteous person. Some of you might have someone in your life. It might be a spouse. It might be a neighbor. It might be your boss. Someone who's kind of in a position of authority over you, and they don't really care about God and don't really care about you or care about people. God can still work through that person.
Yes.
To avenge you. Mm-hmm. To help you. So there's this unjust judge here. It says, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. So someone was wrongfully harming her, even though she was already in a desperate situation. Mm-hmm. And that's what the enemy really does. Sometimes when you're in a tough situation, he'll come after you even harder.
Yeah.
If you give an inch to the devil, he does not stop.
He has no mercy.
There is no limit. We've talked about this before.
Yes,
he will completely annihilate someone if he can. Mm-hmm. Get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, and again, this is an unjust judge, an unjust person.
Yeah.
He said, though I don't fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. This reminds me of like going shopping with children who just think they have to have something every time they
I'm going to get this stuffy for Ada, lest she weary me.
Yes. And it says in verse 6, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And now he said, God is so much greater than this unjust judge. So that unjust judge is not who God is.
Yeah.
But he's saying even that unjust person eventually made things right for that widow. Mm-hmm. And God is the judge of all judges. She was persistent.
Yes.
So that's a key for us, is to keep being persistent. Mm-hmm. And persistency is so important in life.
It is. People give up way too early, way too soon.
So he says here, shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? So it says God hears and he bears long with us. And he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Mm. So God is not just holding out.
Yeah.
He wants to make things right speedily. Mm-hmm. You know, some people try to delay justice. Like when there's even some judges, some counties, some states, when something is wrong, they try to delay a trial, or they try to
just drag it out.
Drag it out forever to try to make people weary and just give up. But it says God brings justice speedily. He avenges them speedily.
That's good.
And this is a really good statement here. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus is looking for faith. Mm-hmm. And faith is it's when you don't lose heart.
Yeah.
And you keep praying. Mm-hmm. You keep coming to God. You keep trusting God. You keep realizing that he's not the problem. He's the answer.
Yes.
And sometimes you're not necessarily getting what you're hoping for, believing for, praying for, because God has something better for you. Mm-hmm. And it might be like a marriage situation. Maybe you really want to get married and you think this person is the right person. Why is it not happening? And you're kind of upset. And maybe it's not happening speedily because it's not the right thing.
Yeah. It's true.
And rather than try to make it happen your own way, you just need to take a step back and trust God. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, sometimes some of the greatest things I've received is when God told me, hey, take a step back. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything and just focus on me.
Yeah.
I remember I've been here about 10 years now as a pastor, and I moved here when I was 29, and I'd just gone to secular universities and not around a whole lot of Christian people, not around a whole lot of people with the same
faith,
core values yeah. as me. So I was thinking when I moved back here, and I was involved in church here as a pastor and teaching at the Bible college where you went, I thought I'd meet someone really quickly, and it wasn't really happening. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would happen really speedily that I'd meet someone, and mm-hmm. you know, I felt pressure to...
Yeah, and you have two younger brothers, and they had both gotten married. One of them had already had two kids mm-hmm. and had... No, your younger brother hadn't yet. But
my best friend that I've had since
yeah,
high school.
Yeah, your best friend got married.
He's married, had kids. Uh-huh. So I was a little...
Tempted to grow weary because you're comparing.
Yeah.
Comparison's not good.
No. And then after a few years, I just felt God tell me to just...
Chill out.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't easy, but he told me, like, don't even reply to people's texts or Facebook messages or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was a fairly eligible bachelor. So, I mean, you came, and we had a young adult ministry at the time. And when you came, there were like 60 young adults coming to it. Yeah. We did it every 2 weeks and had gatherings at my house. So I'd make hot dogs, bratwurst, do a teaching, some worship. Yeah. And, like, there were a lot of young women who were helping, volunteering, and it helped a lot. Mm-hmm. And we didn't, like, tell everyone that we were dating when we started dating, but when the word kind of got out there, all my main volunteers quit on me.
It was quite the coincidence. I'm not saying it was my fault, but it was certainly coincidental that just kind of fell off.
Yeah.
But also, you know what? Thank God. If God is not in it, if he is not steering the boat, I don't want any part of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking about you saying that God told you to chill out and how terrible it is to live in that place of trying to make things happen yourself. Mm-hmm. There's no peace in that. There's no joy in that. And then, God forbid, will you make something happen that God didn't want to happen, then you have to keep that thing up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, I'm not going to say sometimes, every single time that you step out of the will of God and you try to make that thing happen, there's just a lot of toil in that. Mm-hmm. And that's not God's best, you know?
Yeah, and I remember it was actually about a year where I just chilled out completely. I'm not replying to anyone's messages. I'm like, I might come across as, mm-hmm. you know, not a kind person. You know, I try to be kind to people.
Also,
overall.
I want to talk about this too. Back to this whole young adult ministry thing. That we trying to make things, I want to go mm-hmm. back to talking about trying to make something work that's not working. Mm-hmm. We worked really hard to keep that thing alive, mm-hmm. even though it was dead. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Do you mm-hmm. remember that?
Yeah.
We would get up, we would go to church, we would do two services. I would have, and some of this was before we even got married, right?
Yeah.
And I would drag Fisher down here. He was 4 years old at the time. He would go to church all day, and then we would hang out throughout the afternoon. Then we'd come back to church at 6 o'clock to make this young adult thing happen. And there was like, maybe 10, not even 10. It went from like 60 to like 10 to like nothing. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
How? And then we finally were just like, we're not doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that like it's not God's will for you to have certain types of men. And this is like, take it away from the relational aspect. Sometimes people are trying to make things happen in ministry. They know that God's called them to do something, but it's not the right season. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. That is terrible, and you're going to wear yourself out, mm-hmm. and then you're going to be discouraged, and you're going to quit altogether. Mm-hmm. Just, like you said, chill out and let God grow you. Let God develop you. Let God be the one that's leading you. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
It really is. God wants us to have peace, and He wants the best
but
for
that,
our life.
But that year, until I met you, I just felt like God wanted me to just enjoy my life.
Yeah.
And be thankful right where I was at. So I was thankful. I had my house and my dog, Winston, and I'd go on walks with him and, you know, watch a show. A movie with Winston.
Go to the gym at 9:00 p.m.
Yeah, and that was the last time I could ever do a life
on
my own schedule.
You don't do any of that anymore. Yeah. But so how long would you say it was before when God told you to chill out and you started just finding joy in your life?
It was about a year.
About a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, which is actually...
Not that long.
Not that long.
No.
Considering how long I'd dated and
try
thought
to make
about
things
it
work
and
yourself,
believed
right?
for it and try to make it happen.
How many years do you think? Like at
like at least 10 years.
Yeah.
So 10 years
so
of
10 years of
striving of
toil
of
not
blood,
walking in
sweat,
as much
tears.
Not walking in as much joy as you could have walked in.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like all that time you could have just been having a great time seeking God, having a relationship with Him.
Yeah. So, realize God's not your problem. He's your answer.
He is our answer.
And just,
yes.
just enjoy God. Enjoy His presence. Mm-hmm. You know, I love this testimony that you typed up here.
Yeah.
From a book you're reading.
Well, I've already read it now, but it's from Patsy Caminiti's book, The Spirit Realm, The Place Where We Work With God. And the reason why I want to share this is because we want to have answers to questions sometimes that you're not going to have answers to outside of your relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And and this goes right along with what you were saying about when God told you to chill out and you just decided, hey, I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to enjoy, you know, taking my dog on a walk and going on a hike. But I wanted to share this testimony with you out of her book because I feel like it's really important for us to share and to hear testimonies. And so I'm just going to dive right into this. It says, here's a wonderful example. There was a young lady who came to me during the years I was teaching at Rhema in Tulsa. As a young girl, she had some terrible things happen that had so traumatized and damaged her soul that she pretty much was incapacitated to interact with people. She couldn't look at anybody in the face, and she carried so much shame. It wasn't because of anything she had done. It was because of what was done to her, and it was so terrible. I didn't know what to tell her. I couldn't just say, well, sweetie, trust the Lord. You know, sometimes we just want some answer right away. I didn't want to just put a Band-Aid on her gaping wound. And in the honesty of my heart, I didn't know what to tell her. That wasn't cliche. Cliche Christianese just won't do. We need answers. And Jesus gave answers to people. But honestly, all I could come up with was cliche and sounded so cheesy in my own mind because I didn't know what to say to her. I said, honey, can we just talk to the Lord right now? Can we just look at Him? That's what we did. And I still don't remember. And I still remember what He told me. He said, get her to my throne and I will take it from there. That is so powerful. Don't you love that? Get her to my throne and I will take it from there. I thought, well, I don't know what to tell this woman, but I do know how to get to the throne. I can come into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. So I came in with praise and on the authority of His word. And from this place at the throne, He told me exactly what to tell her. It wasn't my big smarts. It wasn't my big help. It came from Him. Hallelujah. The wisdom that came from Him completely set her free. Isn't that something? I think that is so amazing because individuals need individual answers for individual problems. And so we can't compare ourselves to others. Faith is not a formula.
Yeah.
So many times. How many times do we deal with people coming to us and they're just aching because they feel like time is slipping through their fingers? That time is going to run out. And that's a lie of the enemy. Mm-hmm. And if we could just teach people how to get to the throne.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Jesus will be very specific about spiritual things with
yes.
you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is something I kind of realized recently in kind of how our church operates. And God kind of showed me, and I actually brought it up at a staff meeting with my dad, mm-hmm. Pastor Lawson, and some of our key leaders. But I mentioned that it's okay to copy certain things from other churches and ministries, like things that are very technical. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we're going to use this software to schedule volunteers. Like, yeah. copy those things. But if it's a spiritual thing,
don't copy that.
Don't copy it. Yeah. You have to hear from God yourself.
Yes, you
as a ministry, as a church, as a leader. Mm-hmm. You have to hear from God yourself. You can't just copy what someone else is doing.
Yeah.
And too many times we're trying to
make it a formula.
You reinvent the wheel uh-huh. on things that you don't have to.
Yeah.
Things that are more technical in nature. Mm-hmm. We're trying to reinvent that wheel.
Yeah.
When you should just copy those things, because someone else has already done the work and created the system, and just go ahead and copy that. But with spiritual things, you need to hear from God yourself
mm-hmm.
and take direction from Him yourself. And even I've mentioned to people too how God helped me get out of debt and get ahead financially through like buying and selling watches online. And people have come to me and they wanted to do it, but it's not something that you can just copy necessarily. Like, they don't understand.
One thing that believers can copy from one another, though, is to tap into the anointing that's on their life.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is an anointing on every single believer's life inside them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through that God's going to give them the spiritual ideas to get through whatever, you know, their time of uncertainty
mm-hmm.
may be.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, even Jesus, he healed people differently. Sometimes he spit in the dirt and rubbed it in people's eyes,
mm-hmm.
you know? Sometimes he grabbed people by the hand and told them to stand up. Sometimes he just spoke to something.
But the spiritual thing that was always consistent was faith.
Yes.
And even in that parable of the persistent widow, he at the end of it, he concludes with, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the
uh-huh.
earth? So faith is key.
Yes.
Faith is that. Your communication with God. He's
mm-hmm.
pouring out His grace, His love, His mercy, His kindness, His direction to you, His spirit to you, but mm-hmm. you have to respond by faith.
Yes, that's right.
So I think it's just important to realize, too, we have this verse from John 10:10
mm-hmm.
that says, the thief, he only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Yeah. Abundant life.
Abundant life. And just keep trusting God.
Yeah.
Keep trusting Him no matter what. And I think we can go on to the second point.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. And yeah, thanks for flowing with us, because this isn't a topic that a lot of people really dive into in great detail. But just as pastors, we walk with people. We live with people. We're around people all the time. We see them consistently
mm-hmm.
all the time. You know, there's people, and I've been a part of this church since we started it 25 years ago. So I've been with people, their families, and seen multi-generations. So, but people do face uncertain situations and need to know what to do.
Yeah.
So the second thing, I love that you brought this up, what to do during times of uncertainty is to just keep being a person of honor.
Yeah.
Keep honoring people, keep loving people, keep valuing people. To honor means, in the Greek word for honor, whenever it's used in the New Testament, means to set a value to something. So you need to not just set a value, just say, well, I look at this person at this level, but to increase their value. Honor
mm-hmm.
goes beyond what other people think they're valued at.
Yes.
What that person thinks they're valued at. Honor really sees the potential in Jesus in people
mm-hmm.
and draws that out.
Yes.
That's something I love about you. Like, you really understand that. You really are a great person of honor towards me, towards, you know, my parents, the pastors here at our church, towards other people. You really see great value in them, even people who are at the bottom of the totem pole. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you really want to evangelize, to witness to people, to help them.
Yeah. Add value to them.
And that's honoring. Yeah. And Yeah, what do you have to say kind of along those lines?
You don't have to agree. You don't have to agree with someone to honor them.
That's good.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of like the word of God, how we should honor not just people in authority. We should honor people in authority. We should honor everyone, even other believers. But honoring the word of God is what conducts the power for it to work in your life. Mm-hmm. You know? Like there have been times when I've walked into church and I am during praise and worship, I don't feel like the presence of God, you know, but God is always there. He's always present. Mm-hmm. But it's because I'm not honoring his presence in that place. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens to me, when I close my eyes and I put my hands out and I just focus on him, I'm honoring him. I'm honoring his presence. And then from there, I'm opening up the door for him to be able to speak to me, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with people. When you honor people, when you honor people, you're opening the door for God to work through them, to help you. Just like if you take it back to the persistent widow, mm-hmm. you know, like even people that you don't agree with, if you honor them and you realize, hey, God can use anybody mm-hmm. to help me, God can use anybody to speak to me, then that's really powerful. That's letting God conduct his power into your life mm-hmm. through people. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I love this verse that you'd kind of mentioned and written down here from 1 Peter 2:17. It says, honor all people, mm-hmm. love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So he's kind of talking about honor in a lot of different spheres there, but just honoring all people, just being kind towards everyone. Something that kind of has been a pet peeve of mine is when people are only kind to people who
can do something for them.
Can do something for them.
Yeah.
But then like it's that. Someone who can't really do anything for them and they treat them completely different.
Uh-huh. Like, I don't like it when people try to schmooze me because they think I can do something for them.
Mm-hmm. Flattery.
And I'm not going to do
that
to other people either.
Yeah, flattery is, so I'm going to say this.
Okay, say it.
Flattery is the devil's twisted way. It's like his deceived version of honor.
Yeah.
Flattery, like giving
distorted honor.
Yeah, it's distorted. Yeah. And the devil has like a twisted version
of just about everything.
Uh-huh. And he just slightly twists things because uh-huh. if it was just completely bonkers, then no one would fall for it. But the way he kind of slightly twists things,
uh-huh.
and the way he slightly twists honor is he twists it into flattery.
Yeah.
Where it's manipulative. You know, God's not a manipulator. Mm-hmm. But the devil's a manipulator, so he'll try to twist something that might seem like...
Honor is when you pay respect to someone without wanting anything in return, mm-hmm. I think. Like, that's my version of it. And I know that's not, like, the definition. So, but flattery is, like, when you try to honor someone, but you're only doing it to try to get something mm-hmm. in return.
And I love that... You were talking about honor in the bigger picture of what to do in times of uncertainty.
Yeah.
So when you're going through something tough, it's important to add value to other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I actually observed and learned when I was getting my master's and doctorate in Houston. I went to Lakewood Church. You know, Joel Osteen's the pastor there, but I love his sister, Lisa. She's one of the associate pastors there, but she kind of shared her testimony that she, her whole life grew up wanting to marry someone just like her dad. She loved, you know, being in a pastor's family mm-hmm. and loved everything. So her whole number one goal in life was to marry a pastor, be a pastor's wife. That's the only thing she really wanted to do. And she married someone who's a pastor or going to be a pastor. And he left her, just completely abandoned her, divorced her within just like a month of being, it was a very short time frame.
Yeah.
But and she was pretty young, and it was just devastating. And she moved back home and was just completely, completely distraught.
Depleted, yeah.
Major depression, like, wouldn't come out of her room. Mm. And God told her how to get through that and how to get over it was to actually start a ministry to divorced people.
Mm-hmm.
And she started doing that. So God told her how to face this time of uncertainty was to actually honor people, to add value to people's lives, to minister to people, to care for people.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It really will fill you up. And scripturally, it reminds me of that the story in the Bible where Jesus meets the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. And it says at the beginning of that story that Jesus was thirsty. And he goes to this well and he meets this woman and he ends up, you know, telling her that he's the Messiah and setting her free of the bondages that she has lived in. And then she goes away. But then the disciples come and they're like, Jesus, don't you need some food? And he says, I have food that you know not of. Mm-hmm. And the reason why he said that is because him pouring into this woman at a depleted state physically for him, mm-hmm. actually filled him up and built him up. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I will usually share with other women that have lost husbands. Like, now is not the time to shrink back. Mm-hmm. Even though you feel really empty, even though you feel like you don't have anything to give, when you start honoring people and pouring value into people, mm-hmm. your cup is actually filled up. Mm-hmm.
That's really awesome. And as pastors, we see people who do this too, mm-hmm. and do it really well. And you see just how God keeps filling that cup up in their life too. You know, there's a couple around our age at church here, and they both volunteer, help a lot in a lot of different ways, help on the worship team. And they have three kids now, but their third child was born with a lot of medical needs and has been in the hospital mm-hmm. for several months. And, but they've stayed really connected, really plugged in, really. And your flesh kind of says, no, just take a step back. You don't need to be here for practice. You don't need to volunteer for a while. Mm-hmm. But they're doing that to honor God first.
Yeah.
And it honors our church. It honors other people on the team. It honors the entire congregation, their involvement. And you can just see how God keeps filling them up and
helping them.
Helping them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it you're always better off.
Yeah.
Just staying in a place of honor.
Yeah. It keeps your eyes focused on what's most important.
Yeah.
You know, and it keeps your eyes, when you're focused on one thing, you can't be focused on two things mm-hmm. at the same time. And so when you keep your focus on what God tells you to focus on, it keeps you from magnifying the problem mm-hmm. or the time of uncertainty, as mm-hmm. we're calling it right now. And it's moving you through.
Mm-hmm. And it keeps you in that place where, hey, the Son of Man will find faith.
Yes, he will.
In me, because I'm still trusting God. Yeah. I'm still being a person of honor. Mm-hmm. And I think we can talk about our third key here, our third point on what to do during times of uncertainty, is to be thankful in all things. Yeah, I love that.
You want to read it?
You can read it if you want to.
Well, I've got to pull it up on my Bible right here.
I can turn
my
there.
Phone. Should have brought my regular.
I'll read
Hold
it.
Hold on. I already got it. Hold on. Rejoice always.
Where is this from?
This is 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we have to be thankful in all things, but we don't have to be thankful for all things. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not saying, you know, haven't you ever heard of like people that are going through a hard time with their health or whatever, and they're like, oh, I know God's doing this to me to help me. No, no. God is not putting you
you're
through.
In it. Yeah.
Yes, you're in it, and you can be thankful while you're in it. It's a heart posture. And it being thankful strengthens you to stand while your faith carries you through mm-hmm. to victory.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It is awesome.
You know, being in a place of unthankfulness, it'll really affect your heart. Mm-hmm. It'll affect your future. It'll affect your relationship with God. Something that God showed me from Scripture is in Romans 1. A few verses here, verse 20 through 22. But when you get out of a place of thankfulness, there's a trajectory, there's a cycle that happens. So here he kind of talks about this negative cycle of what happens and what's happened to a lot of people in the world. But being unthankful is part of that cycle, and it leads to a darkened mind. It actually affects your imagination.
Yeah.
So it says here in verse 20 of Romans chapter 1, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So he's saying there is incredible evidence that there is a God.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. There's no way you can say there's not a God.
Yeah.
That there's not a creator. And he's saying there's no excuse. But it says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." So he's saying here in verse 21 that they didn't glorify him as God. They weren't thankful. And because of that unthankfulness, they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Mm. And God has shown me when you're thankful, it actually causes your heart to work right, your thoughts to work right, your imagination to work right.
Yeah.
And to be thankful, you can't just thank it. You have to say it.
Yeah.
You know, if I never told you I was thankful, if you never told me I was thankful, like, how would I know? You have to.
Yeah. What if I just came to you and I said, "Well, I've been thinking that you were thankful." Well, that's not the same as actually telling somebody, "Hey, I'm thankful for you." Mm-hmm. What are we thankful for today? That's what I've been teaching Ada lately.
Thankfulness.
You know, she starts getting in her little, "I want this, I want that, I want this." And I'm like, "What are you thankful for today, Ada?" Mm-hmm. What are we thankful for? Mm-hmm. Because, and you know what? When she's not thankful, she does become a little futile in her thoughts. I mean, she gets angry.
Yeah.
Like, be thankful, because it's going to keep you in a good place.
Mm-hmm. I actually shared this a while back when I first kind of got this revelation that, hey, thankfulness actually directs your imagination.
Yes, it does. I love this. Go ahead and share on that. And, that's one of my favorite things.
I share this with our worship team at a practice. And like a week after I share this, someone on the worship team, really great man of God, just told me that for a long time, he's really struggled with his imagination. He'll just think,
like, weird things
or
bad
things.
Yeah,
like what happens if my wife dies or my kids die? Yeah. Just and he says it'll just be like a spiral
and he
can't really get out of it.
Uh-huh.
And maybe you're watching this right now, and that happens to you. You get in this spiral. You start thinking something kind of dark and imagining something really bad going on, and it's just spiraling. But he said, "I couldn't stop it. It would just keep going
that
and going
wild.
And going."
Yeah.
And he said, my whole adult life, for years and years, I've struggled with this.
Oh my
but
gosh.
I did exactly what you said. I just started voicing
to
God what I'm thankful for.
Yes.
And he said that just stopped those thoughts right away.
Mm-hmm.
So when you voice your gratitude towards God, when you're thankful, it directs your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It's a very spiritual weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And it directs your imagination. You know, in scripture, imagination, whenever it's mentioned, it's usually mentioned in a negative context. I think there might be one place in all the Bible where imagination is somewhat positive, but generally speaking about man's imagination, it's very negative.
Mm-hmm.
But God just showed me, just from this kind of negative flow here in scripture, about why the world is so dark and why people have rejected the truth and why people have rejected God and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He showed me in that trajectory there, it's that thankfulness. Yeah? And when
That's
you're thankful,
it
directs your imagination.
Yes.
So even during times of uncertainty, be thankful. That's what God directed me to do after, you know, 10 years of really wanting to get married, striving, toiling. Hey, just take a year just to be thankful and to enjoy life and to be grateful.
If we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, if you go to verse 19, which is the verse right after, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." And I'm going to tie it in with being thankful. in verse 19, it says, do not quench the spirit, which to me screams, hey, if you want a way out of your uncertain time, you need to spend a lot of time being thankful so you're not quenching the spirit and he can actually speak to you and help you and guide you and lead you out of there.
And I think it's interesting. We talked about honor as the second thing to do in uncertainty and talking about being thankful.
Yeah.
Sometimes people get unthankful and they start dishonoring people.
Oh, yeah.
They step in a place of disrespect, dishonor.
And then strife.
Strife and gossip and whispering and all. And it just sucks you out of God's plan for your life.
It does.
And even though you're
kind
of uncertain.
Have you ever done that, Pastor Aaron? Have you ever done that? Have you ever gotten a little unthankful?
Probably at times, but God.
I have.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say that I haven't been here. I have. This is the reason why we can teach on it. Because we know better. We know. We have lived it. We know. We can tell you, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't do that.
So
thanks for getting a little real.
Yeah. No, it's true. You should always be thankful.
You can all, and if you find that you're in a place where you're starting to get not thankful and then you're starting to dishonor and all that, just recognize, hey, I'm in this place. You don't have to stay in that place. You can leave that place by being, you can just automatically right then say, I repent. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to honor these people. I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. And I'm going to have joy, right?
Yeah.
You can stop it anytime you want.
Yeah.
You can get off that crazy train.
That's really
true. Praise God.
Yeah. So just to kind of sum up, three things to do during times of uncertainty. Number one, realize God is not your problem. He's your answer.
Yeah.
Number two, honor. Honor all people.
Yes, all people.
All people. And number three, be thankful.
Yes.
In all things. Not for everything, but in all things. Be thankful. Find things that you can be thankful for.
Yes.
And that will actually direct your imagination. It'll direct the flow of your life. It'll direct your future.
Amen.
By keep being thankful. Amen.
So seek God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And that's Matthew 6:33. And we just want to leave you with, last but not least, seek God with the intent to find out your place of righteousness in Christ. And when you know you're righteous based on what Jesus did for you, you no longer feel like you're unworthy to receive all God has for you. And I believe that as you seek God with your whole heart, that he is moving you and guiding you out of your place of uncertainty. And our prayer for you today is that this podcast has helped you realize that you don't have to live in a place of uncertainty, right? You can just move right on out of there.
Well, I'm really thankful for my wife here, and this is God put it on her heart to do this podcast, and I know it's reaching a lot of people and really helping a lot of people, all types of people.
Yeah.
Young people, older people, so we want to just say thanks for joining us today. Yeah. Be sure to subscribe to the channel here, and go check us out. You can check us out on our website as well, CharisChristianCenter.com. We have a lot of great teachings there. We actually have an awesome youth curriculum. Heather and I are the youth pastors here, so we've got several quarters already available, and it's completely free for download. Other churches are using it, and just is a great tool for them. You can actually use it for your own at-home Bible study with your families.
Just to let you in on a little secret, sometimes the topics that we teach you, we have just taught the youth. So like Pastor Aaron was saying, it's not just for youth. It can be for anybody. Really.
Yeah, and the cool thing about that curriculum, too, is we actually have a lot of discussion elements to it where we put out questions, and it's for discussing things. You really learn through discussion.
You really do. That's why we wanted to do this podcast, is because you learn a lot just from
And with the youth, we really try to get them to discuss things as well. That actually used to be the form of education. I'm reading a book on kind of the history of philosophy, and just kind of interesting when it talked about, you know, Socrates and Plato. They set up these early academies. That's where we get the word academy from, but they learn through discussion. And now, like the way our society is, it's kind of one person talks and everyone
has to listen.
You know, I went to college and remember I had an economics class my freshman year, and there's like 300 people in that one class.
Oh my gosh.
And just one person talking, but the discussion element's really important. So I think it's good to discuss things with people close to you, with your friends, with your family.
And with God.
And with God to discuss things. And you really learn that way. But yeah, check out that curriculum there. So thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. Just keep going with us. We have awesome podcasts. You can check some of the old ones out, but I know some of the upcoming ones will be really awesome too. So great to see you all. And we'll see you guys again very soon.